Welcome to Vogue Uncut. I'm Yvette King, and today we're in conversation with visionary Indian couture designer Gaurav Gupta. Pushing boundaries one bold and sculptural silhouette at a time, Gupta continues to deliver his savoir-faire on the global stage with his unique and inspired design aesthetic. Beyoncé, Cardi B, Mindy Kaling, Fan Bing Bing, these are just some of the famous clientele donning his designs rooted in the surreal and fantastical. What's next in vogue for Gupta? Let's find out. Just don't put him in a box. Gaurav, welcome to Vogue Uncut.
Thank you for having me here.
So excited to be chatting to you today.
Me too.
The next in vogue theme this year is Les Enfants Terribles. Does that resonate with you as a concept at all?
Well, that is me.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it completely resonates with me. It's just, it's how I have been all my life.
Mm-hmm. And for all of our non-French speaking listeners and watchers, I guess you would sum it up as rebellious but chic, terrible infant.
Yeah. Infant. I really,
that part you relate to?
I really relate to the infant part. And terrible.
And terrible. And yes. Both.
Yes.
It really is a lot about non-conformity.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see that also in your designs. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, completely. I'm just, I don't like to be boxed in any way, even as a person, even as my sexuality, even as any definition, even if like, am I from India? Am I not? Am I just from this world? So I actually think like that. So I don't tend to be in any box.
That is so funny that you should say that, because my question literally here was, you seem to have an aversion to being defined.
Yes.
And similarly, I do too. I don't like categorizing things. I think growing up mixed race, people have tried to put me in a box my entire life.
I can imagine, yes.
But for you, where does that come from?
I think it just comes from a sense of wanting to be liberated and to be free of any definition. Mm. You know, it's just a want of absolute freedom.
Mm-hmm.
From, so I think sometimes like I would tend to challenge my own identity. I think this non-identity has become my identity as well. So it's a bit like, okay, I keep questioning, and I would keep writing down a piece of paper before any collection, like, who am I? Or what is the brand?
Mm.
And what are the pillars? And then I'm always stuck with words like surrealism, abstraction, cosmos, spiritual, India. And India for me is not the region. India for me is the tribal concept.
Mm-hmm.
Or it would be shape. These are the kind of words that define me. So there's shape and abstract at the same time. So I always have these dichotomy definitions as well. So I like to keep it a bit abstract.
And what is the answer to the question, who am I?
Who am I? I am everything and nothing.
It's like this concept of nihilism.
Yes.
As well, where kind of nothing matters.
Exactly. Mm. Well, in a way, like nothing matters and everything matters at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're stuck in between the two spaces, mm-hmm. which is life.
True. Very true. Where did your soft spot for abnormality and asymmetry derive from?
I think I was just born like this, to be honest. I was just, you know, it's like, I think it was from clouds.
Really?
Yeah. The thing is, you know, when you're a child, you just keep, I'm sure we all do. We keep looking at clouds and we keep trying to make shapes out of it. And the shapes of the clouds keep changing from a horse to a dragon to a bird to a person or to something abstract. And, you know, it's just, I think clouds is a very beautiful inspiration that we all keep forgetting.
It's like gazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And imagination.
Even now, I'm like, if I'm on any flight, I'm like obsessed with taking pictures of clouds in the flight. I'm like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful.
See, I do that, but that's just because I'm a millennial.
But you know, so I think I also, for me, I don't even like to call myself, I don't even know what is Gen Z, Gen X, millennial, this and that. For me, it's like, age, time, I don't even like to be defined within that box of age, time, man, woman, anything.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sense of it's like, this is how I'm feeling and I'll go with it.
Would you say you are a proponent for change in the couture industry?
I think I'm just a proponent for change, period. It's yeah. not, you know, it's like I'm a gay guy who lives with a straight woman who's my life partner since 25 years, 30 years. And so I don't follow any rules anywhere in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And in the couture industry, it's like couture is art. And I am just an artist who is trying to be free.
Mm. I love the way that you've put that.
Yeah.
It's very pared back.
Yeah.
So I guess it allows your expression to really come through.
Exactly. It's just like couture is a blank, large canvas, right? It's mm-hmm. It's the thought and the process and the philosophy and the psychology that matters more to me in couture or in life than just the actual product itself.
If we stick with this kind of theme of rebellion, you've really worked with some incredible forward thinkers, trailblazers, like Nicki Minaj. I mean, there's so many.
Yes.
Who was the first celebrity that you worked with? And how did it come about?
I don't know. They've been, you know, the thing is, since the inception of the brand about 19 years ago, media and celebrities loved it within India as well. I remember like Deepika Padukone or Priyanka Chopra.
Mm-hmm.
Or so many of my Bollywood friends would love wearing the clothes and they would really enjoy it. And we have had many iconic moments within the country. Globally, I think in the last 3-4 years, Cardi B at Grammys. I think before that was Megan Thee Stallion at the Oscars 3 years back. And that became viral. And just before that, it was Jennifer at Producers Guild Award. It was just like, I think there were these 2-3 moments that happened one after the other. And there was Cardi B for her music video just after Megan Thee Stallion. Then it became a dominoes effect. Then it's been like, okay, Beyonce has won you thrice, one after the
yes.
other at Renaissance Tour. There's Nicki Minaj. There is Sharon Stone. There's Kylie Minogue. There is Maluma. There's you know, this it's just, and you know, and a lot of these moments have been fortunately, they've been loved by the media, and everywhere they've been seen as the best dress of that particular event. So we would be the best dresses Emmys or Oscars or best dress lists of Grammys of Cannes. And you know, it's just it's been quite overwhelming and rewarding.
How does that make you feel to have your designs as on these lists?
Normal.
Yeah. You're like, oh well.
You know,
another day. Another dress.
You know, the thing is, as my partner would put it, she would be like, when I started showcasing in Paris, and this is our first showcase in Paris Couture Week, and I was there with all of these supermodels and all mm-hmm. the stylists and the casting directors and you know, the whole creative teams, which mm-hmm. are global. And we came back to our apartment and she's like, you really feel like your home. It feels like your home. So in the sense of, I think I was always meant to do something like this. So mm-hmm. for me, it actually feels like, it feels natural. This is the next chapter in my life.
Well, you mentioned Beyonce before. She's been a big patron of yours. How did that collaborative relationship start?
So, you know, one of my best friends, Hema Bose, is also has this creative agency in LA, and she's one of the main brand architects for my brand as well, where we actually strategize on who to collaborate with globally.
Mm-hmm.
And Beyonce is a phenomena. Beyonce is
Beyonce.
Beyonce is Beyonce. And it was, you know, the Renaissance Tour was coming about, and it was, there were quite a few stylists who worked on that tour. And I remember, I think Shiona got in touch with our agents in LA. And then that whole thing happened. There was even a body double for Beyonce that we tried for clothes on the body double in Paris at some point. But she ended up wearing it for Atlanta and then one after the other. And that when she wore the green sari dress in
yes.
Atlanta, that became the Atlanta, the Beyoncé Day in Atlanta. So that date is marked as Beyoncé Day in Atlanta. And her Renaissance movie starts with that look.
How incredible is that?
Yeah, I know. It's just been That's happening. That's wild. Yeah, and then her makeup one day and she's just worn one of our latest looks to New York Fashion Week. And I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, fine. This is what's happening.
Like, thanks, Beyoncé.
Yeah, exactly. If you actually notice all of these artists, which is Sharon Stone, Kylie Minogue, mm-hmm. Beyoncé, Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, so many more, Maluma, and like there've been so many more, like Mindy Kaling, mm-hmm. or Priyanka Chopra. All of them are curious people.
Mm.
They are not just another talent.
Mm-hmm.
They're all game changers.
Yeah.
So that's why that resonance with the brand happens, because they are able to, you know, they're really able to appreciate, okay, this is something new. This is something that I want to toy with. This is something that I want to experiment with. And that resonance happens. And that's how collaborations grow. And that's how friendships are formed.
It's true.
Yeah.
And Megan Thee Stallion, she wore your design for her and also the brand's Oscars debut.
That's true.
How did you feel when she stepped out onto the carpet?
Oh my God. You know, when those initial days when all of that was happening, it's like I'm sitting inside my house in Delhi. I can feel like as if the outside public is watching me. It was really? Like literally like, it was quite insane.
Yeah.
It was really insane because it just goes, it went viral. When things go viral mm-hmm. too, and when go viral in a meaningful way, it's like, and in a very inquisitive way as well. I remember there were these, I was like typing on my TV on YouTube or something, like Megan Thee Stallion, Gaurav Gupta, whatever, Oscars. And there'll be so many multiple videos by these, like, how is this dress made? Who is this person? What's happening?
Yeah.
This and
the
that.
Articles so just hatched, yeah, don't
it
they?
Was, exactly. It was this whole new phenomena happening. And then, and that same thing happened at Grammys with Cardi B and the blue thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she stepped out of the car and the world changed. Like, I know it seemed, for me at least, the world changed.
Yeah.
And it was like, and it's kind of, I think these moments are somewhere, it's very difficult to do that today, to etch a new moment or a new aesthetic in the global subconscious. And I think that for me has been a really interesting mini achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, today if I meet somebody and they're like, oh, they don't know what I'm like, oh, do you remember that Cardi's dress on Grammys? They're like, yes, I know that dress.
Yes. You're like, that was moi.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. In the sense, you know, in the sense of it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really exciting. It's like, okay, this is the game I've been playing in India. Okay, this is the global game now. Okay,
yeah.
Now what's the next step?
Yes, yes. This is the global stage.
Yeah.
You did mention, I guess, a meeting of the minds. You're an artist. They're artists coming together in creative resonance. But what is the creative process like? Is it dealing with a stylist? Do they say, oh, I want to wear blue today? Like, how does it work?
So the stylists know us. Like, they know the brand. They are able to, they're excited about our showcase in Paris Couture Week. Some of them, like, for example, for Grammys, when Cardi B was wearing it, Colin Carter, the stylist, was there at our show on January 26th. And Grammys was on February 4th. So there was a dress on the runway and he wanted that.
Right.
So there was a dress. So then my head office in India had to replicate that dress
mm-hmm.
in 4 days.
No.
And fly it out to LA and try it out on Cardi 4 days or 3 days or 2 days before Grammys. And then there were last minute alterations. There's a whole, every placement, every collaboration is a huge, intense endeavor. Project. Yes, it's an endeavor.
I could imagine. And I read that Megan's dress took 1,500 hours to make and you turned it around in a couple of days.
Not a couple of days. I would say, let's say a week.
But
or maybe.
Still, that's...
Yeah, we have that, you know what, we have that privilege of having our own atelier and we employ 600 people in our atelier. So we have that. We have those systems
yeah.
and I'm so proud of my team to be able to do these things.
Oh yeah.
They were sculpting, and there were all these crystals and beads everywhere as well. It is quite intense.
And then what about the journey from atelier to being on the celebrity's back? And where can I sign up to be a dress chaperone? That would be a really fun job. Just flying around the world with gorgeous gowns.
Well, a lot of times you're like, okay, because from India we need visas to fly to US.
Oh yeah, I could do that.
Who
for you
has
guys?
Who has visas in our team? And we're like, okay, because it's all happening back to back. Okay, these are the four people out of this team who have visas. Who's able to travel? Oh, this one's pregnant. This one can't travel. This one has to manage some other big job in India right now, cannot
this
travel.
This person's with Beyonce.
This person's going to take Beyonce's dress. Oh, let's pack Nikki's, Beyonce's, and Cardi's dresses together and fly this
we
person
all
out.
We go to America. Yeah.
There's a lot of back action that happens. And it actually happens, like, I might get a call today and say, like, okay, you have to make this dress for blah, 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 XYZ. Mm-hmm. It has to be ready in a week, 10 days. You know, things start happening. But now I think there is more of a system. Stylists do understand that these dresses take time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but it's not even the talent to blame, because the talent's life is very hectic.
Of course.
And, you know, so it's just, it's what it is.
And they want to wear the latest thing or, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So that makes a lot of sense. And tell us a little bit more about, you know, your design techniques. And what fabrics and things, materials you like to use?
I like to use very fluid fabrics, which is chiffons and organzas, almost like amorphous things which can just change shapes.
Hmm.
Chiffons, organzas, crepes. As base fabrics, I use a lot of silks and different weights of crepes, etc. as well. But our tulle, I like to keep the fabric as a blank canvas, and then we do things to it. Then you've done this ancient technique of corsetry. We've just made a fabric out of it, and then we've sculpted it around the way we drape the chiffon. And then we have these artisans in my team. Like, some people actually would come from different companies to my factories and say, okay, can we be embroiderers here, or can we be artisans here? Some of these people have been working with me for 15, 17 years when I started the brand, and I seeded the first few artisans that I got into the company, and I sat down and I discovered or invented techniques with them.
Mm.
And that language still continues and expands and expands and expands.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these techniques, like we would have a refraction embroidery or meteoric embroidery. Today we have metal sculpting.
Well?
Zardozi as well, of course.
Yeah.
So Zardozi is, you know, a meteoric embroidery would be done with Zardozi techniques, but will be done in glass beads or minute microcrystals,
mm-hmm,
and mix of some metal coils. So it doesn't look like traditional Indian embroideries, but it looks totally futuristic, but it's done with Indian techniques.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, because all of these people are Indian.
It?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And that's what, you know, so people, that's what, you know, even earlier on stage today, it's like, okay, what is I remember Susie Minkus coming to my store in Bombay, and she's like, everything's beautiful, but what is Indian about this? I'm like,
but does it have to be?
Exactly. Culture is like a river. It has to flow.
Yeah.
And to her, you know, I have kudos to her when she actually came to our first Paris Couture show. She wrote a whole chapter on her Instagram about, she remembered how she met me and what she said and what she thought of it now.
Mm.
And it was really interesting. So I think we come back to like changing people's mindsets.
Yes. And then what happens to these beautiful gowns after they've been worn? I mean, I'm sure they're stored in your archive somewhere.
But some of them go to, I think Beyonce's are going into Beyonce's archives.
Okay.
Some of them are coming back to our archives. So yes.
They should be on display in the Met. That's what I think.
They would be at some point, I'm sure. I'm sure they will be. There's a time and place for everything.
And then speaking of the Met, you dressed Mindy Kaling this year.
I love Mindy.
Oh, love Mindy.
Mindy is great. Who doesn't love Mindy?
I know. She's so lovable, isn't she?
She's lovable. She's genuinely funny.
Mm-hmm.
She's a producer, comedian, director, actor. She's just so multi-talented.
We call them slashies.
Exactly.
actor slash exactly. producer.
Oh my God, I want to be a slashy too. I think I am a slashy. Yes, I am a slashy. So she's great, and she's great energy, and she's so like, she's so graceful. And this was like Mindy in a whole new light at Met Gala. I think people had not seen Mindy like this. Yeah, very ethereal, at the same time, boldly ethereal. I think Mindy had not done this much of a statement conceptual thing ever on the red carpet.
I don't think so. Yeah. A lot of commentators online were saying this is her best look.
We get that a lot.
You're like, oh, again, another day, another dress.
No. But that is, people have been really kind. And yes, it was just, Mindy's team is great. And it was a pleasure to work with her. We worked with her again at this Emmys right now. And that was also on the best dress list. So,
back to the Met. Like, do you like working with a theme?
I loved it. Yeah. So the garment was called the Melting Flower of Time. And we did take the theme and started having a melting effect to our sculpting on that cape on her. So, and it was like a withering flower on her back.
Yes.
So, and it was in the sand withering color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Thank you. I loved it. I love it
so
too.
Much.
And before that, we had done a dress at Cannes for Aishwarya Rai.
Yes.
Which I remember New York Times mentioning that the 17 best looks of Cannes ever in the 70 of years of the whole time. And it was one of them.
Wow.
So yeah. I'm just like, okay, wow.
It's all happening.
But yeah.
Those clouds. Thanks for the inspo, guys. That's brilliant. Do you often name your dresses or always name them?
Often. I would say always.
Mm.
Depends. I think it's especially all the couture dresses are named, yeah.
And where does the inspo for the name come from? The design itself?
From the name of the collection or the design itself, yeah, or the thought process.
Yeah.
Or sometimes like we make the dress and like, oh, this is how it feels and we name it.
Yeah.
It's like naming a child.
Yeah. And then that's your name.
Yeah, that's your name. Yeah, exactly. Like I think it was the Megan Thee Stallion gown was called biomorphic something something. So it depends on
the mood, the vibe.
The mood, the vibe, yeah. Because it all kind of culminates as one. You know, what is happening under the ocean is happening outside the planets as well. So, and, you know, when you are in that abstract cosmic zone, it kind of is all connected.
Agreed, completely. Yeah. Who would you love to dress?
There's so many. I would love to dress Cleopatra.
Oh.
Or like, or make new characters. And I would love to, I like dressing brains, not people.
Okay. So have you connected with someone recently that you're inspired by and you think,
there's so many, you know, I think, I would love to dress Madonna.
Oh.
I think Madonna is, you know.
She is the trailblazer,
exactly,
isn't she?
Exactly. And, yeah. You know, and also growing up in that time zone and seeing that the trailblazer, as you said. So Madonna is Madonna, and I would love to dress. There's so many people. There'll be a list of people like Lady Gaga, Zendaya, the obvious ones. I would love to work with Bjork. I think she's so conceptual.
Oh, yes.
And even Matthew Barney, her husband, is so cool. I would love for Rick Owens to wear my clothes at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're like, you know, like I met Vivian Westwood at some point. We were at the Animal Ball at Prince Charles's house. And we were all contributing to the cause of the elephant family, saving the elephant tiger in India or in Asia. And I just kept chatting with her. We just sat down and chatted for like 3 hours. And that's the first time we met. And we were talking about climate change and how we can change the world and what can happen and what's wrong and what's right.
Mm.
So much so that I forgot to meet so many other people and that thing.
Like
because
Prince
I was
Charles,
with... Yeah, exactly.
I'm in conversation with Vivs.
But the thing is, that's true because I did meet Prince Charles and he's amazing. He's so like, he's so gracious and he's truly philanthropic.
Mm.
And that is really good to see in him. And I had already met him in Delhi. But at that time, I was just so enamored with that conversation with Vivian, one of my icons. So
yeah.
I would love to dress her, for example. I would love to dress Andreas, her partner.
Yeah.
So there are just so many cool, creative people in the world.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of endless.
It's kind of endless.
Did she give you any pearl of wisdom at all?
I think she herself really is the biggest pearl of wisdom in the sense
her
of
being was...
her being, her just her being and her presence and just her warmth and her everything. I think it was what was so beautiful to see at that age and to see her undying passion for against climate change and to see this purpose, you know. And that's what it's almost like a hidden code between all of us creatives, that we almost drive purpose in each other. And that's where creative resonance comes from.
Yes. And speaking of purpose, I wanted to check in with you and see how you are feeling now, because I know that you had a serious accident.
Yes.
You know, just before Paris or Couture Week.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good. It was a very, I think I'm still in that challenging zone of life. I'm still kind of coming out of it because my partner was really struggling with life and death a few times in the hospital. And I was actually working out of the hospital for about 3 months. And it was really, really challenging. And that's just, this is a part of my accident. It's not decoration.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, if anything, it made my belief system stronger.
Well, I was going to say, has it changed your philosophy on life at
all? No, I think
it
just made my philosophy has always been about truth and freedom and experimentation and truly breaking boundaries. And if anything, this has made it even stronger.
So you're still able to showcase, I think it was 20 looks, right?
Yes, we showcased 20 looks. We did not showcase. Yeah, we did an intimate showcase and I couldn't be there. And, you know, and there's a requirement of showcasing. And, you know, it's just we could not do the show. And now we will resume in January at Paris Couture Week.
And so what is the experience like of putting on a huge fashion show in Paris?
The thing is we are a 19-year-old brand. We have done much bigger, larger shows in India. Sometimes when I show those shows, you know, somebody sees those shows, they're like, oh my God, the scale of these shows or the sets of these shows are insane. So for us, the shows actually in Paris are not that huge. So, you know, it's like because we are in a habit of getting doing much larger scale things in India. But in that context, well, they are kind of big shows in Paris. They are in, you know, our last show was at the American Cathedral and it was a beautiful venue. I think the experience, the high for me is working with all these, working with the stylists, working with the best hair people and trying to come up with a new hairstyle, which has never been done. And that for me is exciting. You know, trying to tell a new story on a global level and literally working with the right creative minds. And that's what's exciting. And actually have like, you know, there's Vanessa Friedman there, Susie Menkes there, and have the right people who have almost like an authoritative eye towards a cultural eye, the right cultural eye towards fashion or what is happening. So, you know, just it's really good to be appreciated for your art.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you're only one of two Indian designers showing there. Does that mean anything to you? Because I know we're talking, we spoke earlier about kind of stripping that kind of identity piece away.
See, the thing is, there is that stripping that identity piece away, but I am also a huge activist. Like I'll be the one who would go for like gay rights on the streets in India, or I would go for like women's rights and air quality rights and things like that. I've like actually, I had to like stop myself from doing.
You're like, I have too many things to fight for. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, so I'm just like at the same. So that's why I'm saying that there's a dichotomy there, where there's yes, I want to strip myself of identities, but you know, it's almost like a balance of things. I was judging something for some beauty award somewhere, and I was like, only 0.25% of beauty products are tested on Indian and Brazilian skin type, whereas the consumption is 50%. So that, you know, I'm just saying, like, there's a disparity. I think there's
a huge gap.
There's a huge gap between, I think there's a balancing of the worlds happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of the balancers.
Okay.
So that's what we are talking about.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
If we go back to the beginning, what is your earliest fashion memory?
It would be my mom, like, or it would be my mom's saris, you know, or actually, I don't know, fashion is fashion. It would be like some silly clothes that I'm wearing as a kid as well. You know, it's like, okay, I want those dungarees and not that, or, you know, that is fashion as well. So it is, yeah, I don't think I can pinpoint.
Were you passionate about fashion from a young age?
I was passionate about art. Were you conscious
about what you're wearing? Or?
Yes, I was always conscious about what I'm wearing. Mm-hmm. But I was always, actually in my sixth standard, I flunked my sixth standard and in academics. But my art, music, dance was A+.
Right.
So it was kind of obvious.
Yeah, where things were headed. Yeah.
But then I in my new sessions, and then I was like, I kind of topped business studies then in school later on as well. So then I became left and right brain. It kind of balanced out. But I was always more into, like, you know, it's all creativity is related. And there's a lot of creativity in business as well. So, yeah. So it was, So, you know, art, sculpture. I was doing sculpture in school.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It
you
does.
Can see that.
Yeah, exactly. My God, I was in love with my sculpture teacher. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't expect that one. That is no wonder why you're so passionate about sculpture. Connected all the dots now. What about your Central St. Martin's graduation collection? What did that look like?
Oh my God. Okay.
Was it good, bad, ugly, or amazing?
It was great. I think it's one of my, it was, those are the real museum pieces, actually.
The OG pieces.
Yeah, the thing is, I remember we were living in these, you know, in these small apartments. You know, those we share an apartment with your friends, etc.
Yeah, share flat. Or
of course,
whatever.
Share flat and things like that in like East London somewhere.
Yeah,
Bethnal Green or Whitechapel, something like that. And I would be like, okay, I want to take up the living room, and I'm going to pay extra rent because I need to work on my collection. And I took it up. And then there were these Indian God paintings. So before that at St. Martin's, I was only about photograms and perspective and, you know, things, identity, overlapping identities. These were my concepts. And then suddenly for my fan collection, I looked at India. And I was really obsessed with Magritte and Surrealism, which I still am. I looked at Indian gods and Indian mythology and how there is extreme surrealism there. It's like Ganesha's chariot is a mouse and his face is half elephant, half human. And, you know, this is what's happening. And so my room was filled with Indian god paintings from walls to ceilings. And that's what I was immersed myself in. And then, so there were these six garments and which were made with extreme Indian techniques, but in an extremely futuristic way. And there was a jacket which had a bomb inside and it blasted and the threads kept all the jacket pieces together.
Wow.
And things like that. So that was, and that was in orange. And there was a garment in brown, which was molded and shaped in different ways. And it had antique silver jewelry from Rajas from a tribe, which had a checkered pattern to kind of challenge two-dimensional and three-dimensionality. So it was all of these different things. And I was just like a nerd making those clothes, those six garments. And then I think 2 years later, I showcased them somewhere in India and somebody said, oh, these are the six elements. Because one was fire, one was water, one was air, one was...
And
I was
did like, that subconsciously.
I didn't realize it.
Whoa.
At all.
Mind blown.
And I was like a bit of a nerd, like, oh.
You're right.
you're right. This is what happened.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
because so it obviously it was all there.
Yeah.
You just expressed it.
It just
it
happened.
Out.
Yeah. So sometimes you don't, you know, sometimes I think for a lot of creative people, it's that you don't necessarily talk about you can't express the process as much as
yes
is
living it obvious, I guess.
Yeah, as you live it. Yeah.
How has your sensibility evolved since then?
I think it's become much, much more refined. There's a huge variability factor. Having said that, we make, you know, their brides fall flying on their jets to India from Kuwait and Saudi to get sculpted gowns made, which are pieces of art from mm-hmm. us. So I guess that is variable art.
But also you work on ready-to-wear.
Yeah, our ready-to-wear right now is more evening wear.
Mm.
And that is also, yeah. So yes, I'm really excited to do day wear, like things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my sensibility is, you just grow as a person. And as you grow as a person, your sensibility evolves and you experiment so much. We were the ones who kind of invented or discovered the sari gown, which was because the sari was a traditional outfit since thousands and thousands of years worn in India. And I think that's something that we are really proud of, that we got the sari back in a new, sexy, futuristic way. Mm-hmm. And today it's become like a staple in the Indian global diaspora as well.
Mm.
So there have been the sensibilities has gone into so many multiple directions. I would say like every year has been differently, I don't know.
Evolving.
Yeah, differently evolving or devolving or going in multiple directions. It's not been as linear.
Right. And what does your family think about all your success?
I was recently in Paris and Brut came up with this interview. It was like the Brut Global official channel. And my father was there. My parents were there for my Paris show. And I remember him answering to one of those questions. And he said that I knew that he'd be successful, but I did not know he'd be this successful.
Really?
So it was like, you know, so they are just, I am, you know, I feel like I'm one of the luckiest people in the world, to be honest. I have the most supporting, loving family. My brother is my business partner, who is my younger brother, but acts like my elder brother. And it's like annoying. And I've been able to do everything just because of him. Otherwise, you know, all of the ad, everything, he's the backbone of the company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the crazy person. And then my best friends like Hema and Sandy and, you know, and like my life partner, Navkirat. I'm just surrounded by love. That's how things have grown.
It allows you to thrive, doesn't it? When
yeah,
you've got
completely.
That support at home and exactly. You're not distracted by, I guess, trauma or difficulty.
Yeah.
At
yeah,
home.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's
you know?
It. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. What do you think is going to be next in Vogue?
I'm really, really looking forward to a meaningful subculture to evolve.
Hmm.
Something almost like being gothic with a heart.
Hmm. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, we're now at the Vogue Uncut quickfire questions segment.
Okay. Nice.
Just let us know the first thing that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite fashion decade?
Right now.
Oh, present.
Mm-hmm.
Whose atelier would you love to spend a day in?
Alexander McQueen when he was alive.
Very inspired. If you could exchange wardrobes with anyone, who would it be?
Rick Owens. Or like even Matthew Barney.
Hmm. Okay.
Hmm.
What is a scent that is nostalgic for you?
Incense from a temple in India.
Okay. My last guest, Molly Jean mm-hmm. Dijoux, she mm-hmm. is the MD of Longchamp.
Okay.
She wants to ask you, what ignites a sense of purpose in you?
To see despair in people, and I want to be able to change that to joy.
That's a great answer. I wouldn't have thought of that. And because this is a podcast series, can you please give me a question for my next guest? It can be generic.
Oh. Who are you?
That's the hardest question of them all, truly. And then the last thing was, mm-hmm. can we please see the last picture in your camera roll, and can you describe it to us?
Let's see.
The last picture. It's actually like a selfie from today. From like, we just had that chat, no? On stage. So this is from backstage.
That
it's sweet.
Is so sweet.
So that's
from
like
your panel.
Yes, from my panel. So Natasha and I were on the panel together. Samia is doing the exhibition with us at, we have a pop-up with her today and tomorrow in Singapore. Sandy is my best friend and CMO. And Michael is the publisher of Vogue and a few magazines here.
Love that one for the memes.
Isn't that so sweet?
It is so sweet.
And it says backstage here.
Oh, perfect.
It's cute. Yeah.
Well, it's been my honor to chat to you, Gaurav. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.